Welcome to episode 128 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution Coronation Street. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And this week we'll be discussing the episode's broadcast in the UK between the 22nd and the 26th of December 2014.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
I hope you had a lovely week.
Yes.
This week.
We had a nice week. Up at my mum's house.
It was warm.
My mum's got a nice warm house and our house is freezing. Yep. So trying to save on the electricity bills. Oh wow, we've got a nice cup of tea that we're cupping here.
So lovely.
Did you have a nice Christmas, Gemma?
Yeah, I did.
What was your best present?
The thing you bought me.
That's the right answer.
Yeah.
Same here. Exactly. What were your best presents, listeners? We didn't get any Coronation Street presents at all this year.
No, but we got to go to Coronation Street Christmas celebration.
Early, so. That wasn't that's early Christmas present,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so this is just going to be a short show because we've got millions coming up this week. We've got the award show and we've got the one for this coming week's Coronation Street episode. So this is just going to be... Awards and predictions, exactly. This is just going to be a quick Corry history and a street talk and then that's going
to
be it for this week.
Just to keep me going for a bit.
Exactly, because I know you've missed us.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Corry history this week, and there's a lot of street talk, because there's a million episodes of Coronation Street as well this week. So, Gemma, do you want to say what has been happening in Corry history this week?
Well, in previous years, in fact, 110 years ago, first Coronation Street wedding occurred between Tim O'Connor and Cissy Matthews.
Tom O'Connor.
What did I say?
Is it Tim?
Same thing.
50 years since the first Corry pantomime. So it was Cinderella they did in the Mission Hall there, and Lucille Hewitt was in the lead role, and Dennis Tanner was playing Buttons.
Aww.
I can imagine him as Buttons.
Yeah.
Cheeky chap.
It's been 40 years since the first appearance of Eddie Yates.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, here's something else interesting.
Go on, then.
25 years since Ken admitted to Deirdre he was having an affair with Flamin' Wendy Crozier.
So you mean Wendy Flamin'?
Wendy Flamin' Crozier, exactly.
Come on.
Oh, Flamin's warmth.
Oh. 20 years since Curly named a star after Raquel as a Christmas present to her.
That was so sweet.
Why don't you, if you're so sweet, if it's so sweet, why haven't you done it for
you? Don't want a star named after you, do you?
It is true. I would say it's not even real.
Exactly, that's a silly name.
It's just a con.
Nobody else would call it.
If you're gonna buy me a present that's really secretly a con, I'd rather have Moon Rock, like Moon Land on the moon.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Because you can name a star after someone, you can buy
Moonland
real estate. Or you can buy somebody a fake Scottish lordship, which doesn't
can
even
you?
Work. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah. It's Lord.
Can you ordain someone as a minister, vaguely as well?
What's it called Scottish?
MacLord.
No, it's L-A-I-R-D.
Laird. I don't know.
Yeah, all that means in whatever it is. Scottish.
Well, Curly didn't do any of that.
It's landowner.
Okay, I didn't know
that. So it doesn't
that.
Even mean Lord.
Oh. That's an interesting fact, listeners.
So if you got that for Christmas.
Or if you gave it to somebody.
Well, don't worry about it if you gave it to somebody. You just got, as long as they like it.
As long as they got something nice for you. 10 years ago, since Karen McDonald set fire to the car that Steve won in his game show, unaware that Amy Barlow might have been inside.
Oh, it's a double bonus.
She wasn't, though. And that was also the last appearance of Karen McDonald. She went out in a blaze of
glory.
Kind. I was very sad when Karen went. I didn't like it how they kind of turned her a bit mad before they let her go. Oh, those are the days, Karen.
Sad.
Also, Ashley and Claire Peacock got married.
Yeah, they should have done.
Yeah, that didn't last very long, did they? Tram crash.
Indeed.
5 years ago, since the first appearance of Nick as played by Ben Pryor. So we've had new Nick for 5 years now.
Have we?
Yes.
He's not new Nick then, is he?
Not really.
He's sort of middle to...
I don't know how many years Adam Rickett played him. Or how many episodes he was in. But yeah, new Nick is just Nick at the moment.
He's crazy Nick.
That was also the same time.
He's not so crazy Nick.
No, it's gone back a bit to Boring Nick.
Boring
this year.
Nick.
That was also the time when the people at the Rovers put on another Cinderella pantomime.
You've written Cinderella.
Cinderella panto. Fool. And Amy swore during the performance. Do you remember that? She was going through a swearing phase.
Aww. And I think I'm going through one of those.
Yeah, that's your life is a swearing phase. Also, this was a Christmas, I'll tell you this.
Christmas to
Sally
remember,
revealed
of
to Kevin that she had breast cancer.
Oh, I loved that episode.
Just a just as he was about to tell her he's leaving her for Molly.
So, if I'm ever going to tell you something really important, and you say to me, no, let me tell you first, I'm going to let you go first.
That was one of those moments, one of those old soap clichés of, I've got something to tell you. No, I've got something to tell you first. Well, I'll tell you something. What were you going to say? Oh, nothing.
I was
going to
say, run out of milk.
But don't worry. This is more important.
I'll get it, because I feel kind of guilty.
Exactly. So, that was Cory of Christmas Past. Let's talk about the Cory of Christmas Present.
Nice one.
So, Christmas week on the cobbles.
A bit messy for storylines.
It was a little bit messy for storylines, especially as the Roy and Gary one kind of collided
partway through the week.
But we've managed to cobble the notes together to fit properly. I think there were a few too many episodes this week in Coronation Street. I think they probably could have cut down some of it a little bit, because, I don't know, like the actual Coronation Street Christmas Day episode, it wasn't so big and exciting as some of the previous years.
I really don't
years.
Think it was, and I'm sorry to say that I thought that.
Because it was obviously all building up to Kylie leaving. Kylie leaving was the thing that they were banking on.
And it was so anticlimactic, because I was like, oh.
Well, we knew she was going to leave because she's pregnant.
I knew she was going to leave, but I didn't know she was going to leave like that.
No, I didn't know she was going to leave quite then. I didn't know when it was going to be.
Do you know why it is, though? It's because David's always saying, oh, leave, I don't like you, leave. And then she always goes, oh, David.
Yeah.
And then
she's gone.
And then he says leave, and she packs her bags, and then the next episode she's making toast.
Yeah, and this time she actually did go.
She actually did go.
I don't know how long she's staying away for. We checked that she was going because there was a little ITV interview, ITV.com interview with her, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If you have to check to make sure it really did happen,
they've done too many fake outs.
Yeah, exactly.
But I thought the Roy stuff was better, but that was all on Boxing Day, wasn't it?
I'm sad that we didn't get more of that, because I would like to know what's going on with that.
That really should have happened on Christmas Day, I think, because the Kylie storyline was the only big thing on Christmas Day. Like, Steve's mega massive Christmas party, nothing happened, did it?
I wouldn't have invited, so why do I care?
And Sally did have a sofa.
If you're going to have a party and you're going to go bang on about food, show me the food, for God's sake. Otherwise, just feel let down.
Yeah, it was a bit of a letdown. I thought the Roy stuff was good, should have been on Christmas Day. But yeah, there was a few bits of padding, like that David and Tyrone fighting over the doll's house and stuff. I don't really see what the point of that was. Tyrone should have just gone off to Wolverhampton early. They could have trimmed it down, I think.
Anyway,
that's what we thought.
So the five storylines we have was Cash and Gary.
Well done.
The Need for Speed, which was Kylie
the end
going.
Of that, yeah. Speeding
Sam
into
McDonald,
a Pringle.
Which is... Steve. Being sad. Sophie Webster.
Yeah, that's like Sophie Webster, isn't it? You remember that? She gave me a look.
And you can read this one out, even though it's my idea.
No, you read this one out. Tony's tiny todger tickles Tracy's tinkle treasures.
Tinsel treasures.
Oh, man.
You ruined it.
You say it then.
Would have been really good if you had just said it properly.
That was the aftermath of Tony and Tracy having it off last week.
Have it off? I haven't heard that for years, that saying.
And, nothing much else happened, really, but that
did
it.
She just keeps mocking him.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
We'll talk about
that
a little bit in the end.
I think that's really improbable that Tony would have fallen for that. But then I'm not a man. Would you have fallen for her pretty face? Oh, dear. Right, so let's get on with Cash and Gary then, shall we?
Yeah, so... Wasn't
I can sum this up for you.
Owen was blimmin' awful this
Owen
week.
Owen was such a... I really didn't like him this.
Did you feel sorry for Gary? I mean, at the end of the day, he did kind of. He was the one that caused the split between him and Izzy in the first place, wasn't he? Because he was kind of sniffing after Alia.
But he doesn't want to go out with her anymore.
Owen's
so
been
just
absolutely,
bloody deal with it.
Owen's been absolutely.
He didn't
awful
lead
to
her on. He was just nice to her. He didn't lead her on, did he?
Oh no, not this week. No.
No, and he never led her on. He just acted like a normal, decent human being.
Yeah.
So, why are they all being horrible to him? I don't understand.
That was basically what happened with Owen this week.
That's what I was going to say. Basically, everyone was horrible to Gary, and then he got hit on the head.
Yeah. Let's delve into this a little bit more.
Let's pick this story apart, shall we?
It was all a bit confusing, the episodes this week, because the first half of Monday's episode was clearly written to be the second half of Friday's episode, I think, because the second half of Monday's episode was all back in the morning again, so it was all a little bit jumbled up. But anyway...
Izzy tells Gary off for mucking around with Alia, and then Gary has a heart-to-heart with Roy about how he's got himself into a old mess, and he can't even afford to get Jake a present.
No, because he hasn't got a job anymore.
And really,
saved any money or anything, and he's left it until the last minute.
That's the theme of this week, is he doesn't have any money to get Jake a present and he feels like a loser.
That's why we've called it Cash and Carry.
Yeah. So, in the morning, he meets up with Alia and says, can we just be friends? And she says, no, I don't think so. And then Carl comes along and says, leave her alone.
Yeah, that's another Carl thing, isn't it? Every time that Gary and Alia are in a scene together, Cal's always there to jump in and go, what are you talking about?
Leave my door alone. She's not interested in you, Scully.
Yeah. Like so that happened. And then Gary sees Izzy in the cafe and she is not impressed that he hasn't bought Jake a Christmas present. But she says, I suppose this was fairly decent. Doesn't she agree to give him something and say it's from Daddy?
I think you would do that if I had a child and the dad, for example, you, was being deadbeat and wouldn't get them a present. I think I would.
I think you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Although
Jake is only a year and a half old.
That is true. People sometimes get a bit weird about it, don't they?
I don't know what you do when you've got a little baby for Christmas.
Aren't little kids just a bit like dogs and cats, so they don't really perceive?
Yeah. We bought our cat a present.
Give him a box.
But she doesn't really know about it. Yeah. No. Listeners might want to know about our friend who was going to be having a baby soon.
Yeah, what happened with her baby?
She had a baby on Christmas Day.
Was it called Jesus?
No.
No, it wasn't.
She's called it Zach.
But...
That's a soap storyline almost, isn't it?
That was unfortunate.
She's called it Zach...
No, don't say the name. Okay. Don't say the name.
It's called Zach.
You can probably work it out now, actually. There's probably not that many people born on Christmas Day called Zach.
I don't think people really care. But anyway, Christmas baby. So we had our own little soap shenanigans of ourselves.
Poor old my friend, anonymous friend.
Yes. So they're in the cafe anyway, and then the Scallies come in again, antagonising Roy. And Gary, the decent bloke.
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, go on.
Gary says to Izzy, I'll look after Jake. Is that his name?
Yes.
While you go to get him a present and pretend it's for me.
Yeah.
So he is babysitting for some reason in the cafe, and the Scallies come in.
Yes, and Gary stands up to them and sends them on their way.
And while he does that, Jake gets a knife and stabs himself in the face or something.
Did that happen?
Yes, it did.
No, that was later. I know, but
that's pretty much it. You can just add it all in together.
Jake had cut himself with a fork later, or a knife or something, or he fell off a chair and bashed his arm or something. And also, heaven forbid, his teddy had dropped out of his pram earlier on in the street, hadn't he? And then, because Gary was talking to Alia, and Izzy sees them there and notices that Gary's taken his eye off of Jake, and he's like, oh, you let his thing drop on the floor, what the heck are you doing?
And to which you respond, you're such a perfect mother, I'm sure that he has never dropped anything in your presence, not even a hair or a tiny ball of snot out of his nose.
I know, she's like, I've got to get out of my wheelchair and pick it up.
Oh, I've got to pick it up, you're terrible.
And that, of course, as soon as Owen hears about this gives him more fuel for the rest of the episode, having a right go at him later when he hears what's happened. He says he's a complete waste of space.
Yeah. And
poor
also, Katie in the gym is slagging Alia off to Owen. Carl overhears and says, look, I don't really care what you think of her, but you respect her when you're at work because she's my daughter.
Yes.
Which is really fair enough, because Katie's sticking her oar in. Like, I don't... Like, shut up, Katie, you harpy.
Yeah.
Isn't she? Oh, I don't know, Katie. No one cares what you think.
I haven't got a storyline of my own. Can I turn my opinion on this one, please?
I don't understand why everybody's just turning on Gary all of a sudden. He's always been useless. Why are they acting like this now?
It's because Anna was away, wasn't it? So I guess they think, oh, well,
turn.
While Anna's away.
It's like the little fish in the tank eating the smallest one.
Yeah.
Because they haven't been fed. Right.
Gary's like a little orange goldfish.
We're on Wednesday, and the poor goldfish, well, the sharks are circling anyway. Owen's goading Gary.
He hasn't cleaned up properly.
And saying that he hasn't cleaned up properly. So Faye says, oh, I'll help you. I was going to go out with my mates, but I'll help you. And he says, oh, I'm so poor. And she says, oh, have my Christmas money from my aunt. So he goes and gets a present that Anna had already bought.
Yeah, a toolkit.
Brilliant. Owen's not impressed because he knows that he took Faye's Christmas money. So he goes and shows up with his toolkit, and Anna's like, well, I've already wrapped mine, you've got to go and change it. So instead of doing that, I assume he goes back to the shops and he takes it back, but he doesn't bother getting anything.
I can't remember what they said.
Well, the thing is, he had money, he exchanged it for a toolkit, and then he has money again. So he must have taken it back and then thought, oh, I can't be bothered to buy a present.
He couldn't find anything else that was suitable.
That's ridiculous that you can't find anything in the shop.
Yeah, he'd rather go out for a drink.
Well, he goes to the pub and drinks his money away. And when he comes back and Anna says, well, where's Faye's money if you didn't buy a present? You've drunk it, haven't you? And he says, oh, it's just miserable. And then he says, I'm going to go and stay at someone else's house if you're going to be like that. And only Faye doesn't want him to leave. Everyone else is like, good riddance.
Yeah.
Poor Gary.
I don't. And why didn't he buy Jake a Christmas present before this? How long has he not had a job? It's been like a week by this point, isn't it?
It's not exactly like.
Has he got no money at all?
I don't know. It's hard for us to know, isn't it? Because we don't live hand to mouth.
Yeah.
It's all very easy to say that when you have money coming in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But
anyway. It's not completely believable, but it's a nice setup for what happens on Boxing Day, isn't it?
On Christmas morning, which is Thursday, everyone's happy because Gary's not there. And then Faye asks Anna to invite him over, and Owen reluctantly agrees that yes, perhaps everybody in the family should be allowed in the house on Christmas morning. Great, that's lovely, Gary. Owen, thanks very much.
Yeah, we didn't have very much of the Windasses on Christmas Day, did we? Small mercies, but well, we do get to see them playing a bit of Snakes and Ladders.
Yeah.
Katie makes a stupid remark about Gary being a snake, and then Owen says he couldn't be bothered to buy his own son a Christmas present, so it all kicks off again. And then Gary then gets in a draft and kicks. He just kicks what he thinks is some Christmas wrapping paper, but no, it's got Faye's Christmas present inside. Some headphones. Which they'd all clubbed together to get. Were they like posh Dr. Dre headphones or something?
Aren't they?
Or Bluetooth enabled? I don't know about these
but,
things.
But, yeah, he kicks the heck out of it. And
everybody hates him
everyone
for
hates
it.
Everyone hates him. For some reason, these are the most fragile headphones I've ever known in my life.
Yeah, when they're held up, they're all dangling by the...
It's like, blimey, no wonder Phelan got a crack in from you. That's what you can do with one kick. You should give up being a builder and become like an Olympic kickboxer or something.
He does, to be fair, say, oh, he'll replace them. But I was like, oh, yeah, with what? And
it is fair enough. With what?
Yeah, exactly.
So he goes and sits by himself on the bench.
So he's in a pretty bad state at the end of Christmas Day.
Yeah, so... Boxing Day, Friday, Gary comes home and gets shouted at by Owen, although Faye's forgiven him, and he says, oh, I'm going to get some money today to get replacements for...
He does have a go, doesn't he? Because he goes over to Tracy to try... He tries to give his phone and his watch to her, but she says they're not worth anything.
That is actually... I don't completely believe that. Makes no sense at all, because at the very least, he would say something like, look, if you can't give me money, can you just swap me something?
Mm.
Can I please? Have you got any headphones? Or...
Well, she wasn't in the shop at the time. She was just in the street. Maybe she just couldn't be bothered to deal with any shop stuff. But considering how poorly the shop's doing at the moment, you'd have thought she'd have taken any chance. But anyway, that's going
on
there.
She doesn't want to buy stuff. She wants to sell it, doesn't she? She's not really interested in.
Meanwhile, the teenagers or older
Scallies.
Older teenagers, the Scallies are back in the cafe again, and they're mean about Hayley.
Well, they broke in, didn't they? This is their subtle way of revealing that they indeed were the ones that broke into Roy's flat, because they say that Hayley was a munter.
That's harsh.
Well, is it fair comment? I don't want to.
Hayley was not a munter. She just had strange hair. She's lovely.
Leanne and Carla get rid of them, and Leanne says, get out or I'll kick you where it hurts so hard you'll have three Adam's apples.
I thought that was my line of the week. That was a good one.
So yeah, Carla and Leanne kind of come to Roy's rescue, and it's quite hilarious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't cross either of them. They're both scary, aren't they?
Absolutely.
So they save him, and then he says, yeah, this means that those were the people that were in the break-in. And Carla says, look, I'm going to LA later. But come to my flat this afternoon, and Gary overhears this.
Yeah, because he is starting to plot.
I don't think he is at this point.
Well, I guess he's not. I guess he just
innocently hears things.
He uses it later to his advantage. Yes.
So the Scallies are outside when Roy comes out, and they scare him back inside. So he phones Carla from his payphone, and he leaves a message saying he can't come because he's got a bit of a tummy ache, and he says at the end of the message, it's Roy, by the way, end of message.
I thought that was funny. It's just such good writing for him, isn't it? Because that's like just a phone call, but he doesn't even know how to do that.
So Gary's getting abused again from Owen, and when nobody's looking, he takes Anna's cafe keys, heads out. He tries to borrow money off David. He says, no, I don't think so. Ends up on the bench thinking about his plan, and then lets himself in to...
Into a cafe. Do you think that was there'd been enough build-up to make us believe that he actually would go so far as to do this?
I think it's a bit stupid, really, because what is he doing it for? I mean, Owen's going to shout at him no matter what, I just wouldn't be bothered with what Owen thought about me anymore, would you? There's nothing you can do.
No.
Even if you buy a new headphones and give Jake a present, it's too late for that now.
Hmm.
I would just be like, screw it, I don't, you know.
He's not going to
Why
know.
Would you bother stealing? It's worse than not buying your kid a present and kicking someone's headphones, isn't it?
Yeah, do you think he was like, he would have planned to like give the money back, like, I think he planned sneak it, to give back, it back in or something? Because he's not really a bad guy.
He's not
lad,
really that
he?
Bad. In the aftermath, I'm sure at some point he will raise this issue that he intended to return the money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether Roy's going to end up forgiving him, but I mean, he's quite a forgiving type, so.
He's kind of a reasonable chap, isn't he?
Yeah, but anyway, he's let himself in and noisily rummaging through the tills there, which gets Roy's attention. And in quite an uncharacteristic, well, is it uncharacteristic, display of violence from Roy, he gets a swift whack around the head with a cricket bat. And I thought this was quite an exciting scene.
This was actually the highlight of the week.
Yes, it was. It was good. So he whacks him over the head with a cricket bat, pushes him out the door. He's like going, no more, no more. Because he obviously thinks it's one of these nasty teenagers.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't just leave him pushed out onto the street. He pummels him on the ground.
Well, he actually raises the cricket bat all the way over his head and brings it right down on Gary's head as he's lying on the cobbles, and Sinead is watching in horror, going,
saying, Bayek,
what have you done? What have you done?
So do you think that...
I think he would have died in reality.
Well, it doesn't sound like he hit him on the head, does it? From what the doctor said later in the week, he just was like whacking him on the back. They talked about, oh, he's not getting any major spinal
really
damage
hurt.
Or whatever. Do you think that...
How much that would have hurt. That would really hurt.
Do you think that... it was out of character for Royal not to have done this, because I think
no,
they've built it up quite nicely.
This is what he's like.
He really is prone to these outbursts, not of violence. I think this is the first time we've ever seen anything quite like
yeah,
this.
But it's not the first time you thought, oh, we could go at any minute. You know, like it's just
yeah.
the next logical step.
And even this cricket bat that he had, they kind of sneakily snuck into it about what a month ago, wasn't it? When they were first there, we saw him putting it away up in his. In his wardrobe, and we didn't hear anything about it. I think if they hadn't had that scene, we'd have been like, where on earth did he get that cricket bat from?
Yeah.
But I think it was just about sort of planned out enough, so it was like, okay, I believe that might happen.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, he could certainly have these violent tendencies. So anyway, Sinead is there watching.
Sinead is really not Rory's friend in this.
No.
Sinead has gone from... Roy is this lovable kind of neighbourhood odd guy to this is a raving psychopath.
Yeah, well, it's so that they can have the conflict between her and Chesney, isn't
which
it?
Which I think
later
is a nice
on.
Idea.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a bit more of a...
Yeah, although if it's going to end up with like Chesney being grumpy towards Sinead, I mean, he isn't the best
that.
Boyfriend, is he, to be
no,
honest?
No, he's crap.
But yeah, it does add a bit of drama there. So yeah, Gary can't speak.
Chesney runs up and Sinead says, oh, Roy attacked Gary, and he goes to get an ambulance. And Sinead's hysterically shrieking about this, and Owen turns up, and Roy tries to defend himself, saying he couldn't see what was going on and someone needs to call the police. And Chesney goes and investigates and says, oh, the cash register was fiddled with.
Yeah, he's completely on Roy's side, isn't he?
Yeah, he thinks Gary deserved this, and Sinead's like, no, I saw it, and I don't think anyone deserves that. And the police come along and they arrest Roy. And Chesney's like shaking his head at Sinead, I think, as Roy's being led away. Like it's her fault for some reason.
Is there much of a history between Chesney and Gary? I can't really think whether he's got any reason for him to sort of not particularly side with him. I mean, there was. I think that the bond between Chesney and Roy is obviously very
strong. Yeah, exactly. I don't think
strong.
You need it.
But no, I don't think it could have been like gingers together, couldn't it?
Well, obviously not. So, Owen and Anna suddenly come over all, oh, we love Gary, go
yeah,
to the hospital, and Anna's freaking out because Roy's attacked him. She, obviously, Roy's a, you know...
Mild-mannered cafe.
Exactly.
And
her
boss.
And her friend, too.
Friend and boss.
And the doctor comes out and says, there's no spinal damage, and he's fine, but he doesn't want to see anybody. And Anna's like, oh, why? I'm his mother. I'm allowed. And he's like, no, you're not. Yeah, so then we go to Sinead and Chesney are having an argument about Roy, and they're at the police station, and Chesney won't leave, but the police say, no, you've got to go because we're going to keep him overnight and there's nothing you can do about it, really.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, he's trying to say, oh, he won't cope. You don't understand. He's not like this. He won't be able to cope with it. I think he underestimates Roy. I think Roy's been through tougher things than this.
Yeah. So, and you predicted what the final scene of the week would be as well, didn't you? So, yeah.
It was just Roy
sitting alone in the cell, camera panning away from him.
Classic Corrie cell shot.
So, do you think that they're going to press charges, or because it sounds like the fact that Gary's not asking for anyone to see him shows that he, I guess, feels like he deserved it, maybe.
Yeah,
he just doesn't want to hear Owen. Well, I'd request no visitors. I thought it was Owen that was going to come and visit me.
There's a burly guy outside.
Keep him away. But I suppose that means that next week we're going to have to see all the whole interview scenes and everything. But it was just a bit of like Christmas drama that I'm sure will be quickly resolved.
Well, Gary's the one that's going to have to press charges on Roy, isn't it, for attacking him? So who won't press charges on Roy, and Roy probably won't press charges on him unless Roy says no. Because you know what Roy's like sometimes, he's really stubborn and he'll say, no, Gary did something wrong and he should be punished because this is how society works. And then Gary says, well, if you're going to be like that, I've got nothing to lose. Everyone hates me. Screw you, world. I'm going to press charges to Roy. I don't care anymore.
I don't think so. I think they could go
that way.
Because Roy and Anna's friendship is quite strong, isn't it?
So
I think
what?
She's going to be able to... He's not going to want to attack her family.
He's
not going to do it because he knows what misery will bring to Anna.
I know, but the thing is, though, they've done weirder things with characters, haven't they?
That's true.
Right.
We didn't say anything as well, because there were a few extra Roy bits during the week that didn't really fit in with the Gary, but all the stuff with him and Carla was lovely earlier on in the week. I liked the bit where she was flirting with him and joking that she should he should go out with her or something, didn't she?
I can't remember what they said.
He was looking a bit uncomfortable, but that was quite nice.
And he gave her a hug. Yeah, he does. He also helps out with Yasmin and the community centre feeding people on Christmas Day.
Another storyline that nothing really happened, wasn't it?
It's nice to have these little Christmassy themed vignettes, and I suppose they do it so that people who are only watching it on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day have got something to watch.
But there's barely anything there to it. It also balances out the terrible drama of Kylie and stuff, doesn't it? But
yeah,
it was a little pointless. But the Carla and Roy stuff was very nice. I appreciated that at least.
Right, now this next one is a very messy storyline because you've got David and Tyrone, Gavin and Steph and Nick.
Yeah, we've got everything really.
What's
it's Kylie.
Name? What's that? What's that MILF's name?
Erica.
Erica and Erica and Nick and
it's
Kylie and David.
But it's mostly Kylie, isn't it?
It gets to that in the end. Go on then, you go.
So Monday then, Gail's criticising Steph and Gavin flirting to Michael. She doesn't like the idea of Steph.
Well, she's criticising them flirting to Michael. Yes.
Yeah, because Gavin was that when Gavin was working in the bar still. He's kind of knows what he's doing a little bit more this week, although he didn't know what champagne was at the end of the week, did he?
That is correct.
But Steph is like trying to convince Nick to hire Gavin full time because Nick's at the moment not giving two hoots about the bistro,
leaving Steph to do everything while he goes off with Erica.
Yeah, at the busiest time of year possibly.
Quite possibly is.
That was the first half of Monday's episode. In the morning, Eva comes round to see David, and he's like, oh yeah, Kylie's doing better now. And it shows that she comes back, she's doing her Christmas shopping, she's got a present for Lily.
She needs a present for Lily,
but everything else is sorted.
Well,
so
she's got stuff, but she thinks she hasn't got enough.
There's basically happy families at the Platt household at the beginning of the week, isn't there? So then we have this strange little offshoot of a storyline where David's getting the doll's house, which he sees in Barlow's by his window. He goes in to get it, but Tyrone's already beaten him to it. And this kind of, I guess, links on to the whole squabbling over the Christmas tree from last week,
doesn't it? I don't
know
where they're going with it, though, because they didn't go anywhere.
And I don't think it will go anywhere, because now Tyrone's up visiting Scylla and with Fizz and everything. So it was a bit of a time waste, really. But anyway, Tyrone sees David hauling the box into the house later, but it's from a shop in town, because Tyrone doesn't pick it up at the time, does he?
No, for some reason.
Yeah.
It's just a load of nonsense time wasting, like you say.
Yeah. So let's move on. More important to the main storyline was Callum then shows up at the garage to get his car serviced. And Kylie sees him and tells him to stay away. But he's just saying that she is playing hard to get. So that was kind of more repeating of older stuff as well. He also goes into the Rovers and flirts with Liz. Eva tries to get rid of him, but he's like saying, "Nope, I think I like this place. You're going to be seeing a whole lot more of me."
Yeah.
I wonder whether we are going to see a whole lot more of him now that Kylie is gone. Because I don't know whether... I've got a feeling that he's going to be in it for a bit longer. I don't think that he was just brought in for Kylie's exit and that's it. So he could still be in it with Paula Lane off on maternity, couldn't he? So he could be like reporting back news or something. I don't know. Wednesday, David's trying to put this doll's house together, taking a long time because it's massive. Kylie's saying that she wants to cut the brakes on Callum's car, which would have been good.
Yep. So Tyrone is also trying to put this model house together, and when he takes a car, he's going to check it on the bypass. David sneaks in and he thinks he's missing a part, so he steals it off of Tyrone. This is stupid, really, because later on he realizes he doesn't need it and then he has to give it back.
Yeah, and that was it, wasn't it?
The end.
That was that episode that happened. I can't even remember now. But okay, so Callum sees Kylie and Max walking along later. He goes to intercept them, but Kylie rushes Max away.
Well, David gives Kylie an ornament as part of her present, and it's got their photo of all the family on it, and she's all overwhelmed, and she rushes off, and she sees Callum, and he's like, oh, she's going, leave me alone, I'm over you. And he says, oh, David doesn't know about you, and he gives her some drugs. And she throws it everywhere and says, oh, I love a white Christmas me. And she walks off triumphantly. And then Callum gives this look that he's been studying off of David. The old Jack Nicholson look.
Yeah.
He said, you've crossed a line, I'm going to ruin your life. Which he proceeds to do on Thursday.
Yeah, that was all a bit of a setup, wasn't it? A Christmas Eve setup for the drama of Christmas. Michael has got Gail a load of pots for Christmas with little presents inside. I thought that was quite nice.
That was very sweet.
It's very romantic.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah, lots of little Christmas kitchen where he's got her, hasn't he? It is. It's family bliss at the beginning of Thursday's episode.
They all go off to the bistro and Kylie says, oh, I'll stay behind and sort everything out here. David helps Tyrone finish off the doll's house. They don't care. Max comes downstairs because he hasn't gone to the bistro for some reason. And he finds a new bike down there, and Callum's there too. It's Father Christmas in the flesh. Kylie hurries Max outside and says, look, go away, leave me alone. And she's like, oh. He's saying, oh, you're so domesticated, and I can take you away from everything here.
The reason at the bistro, isn't it, is because it's David's birthday as well. Nick's still there, he's still been bonking Erica, and
Michael gets Gavin this really sweet tankard, which is engraved. It's like a family heirloom that belonged to his dad before him or something. It was granddad and his dad and him, or and yeah. That was Gavin's name on it, and he gives it to him, and he's like, oh, great.
Well, I did think that Christmas week might have been the week when we got to find out, at least the viewers got to find out the truth about Gavin, because that could have been just something extra to give it a bit more of a boost, couldn't it, if Michael had found out the truth, but no. Nope. So David comes back home and finds Callum in the middle of trying to hand Kylie some more drugs. Kylie's still sort of, to be fair on her, pushing away, no.
She doesn't want anything to do with him, which is the worst part.
Yeah, but David starts...
And this is the plats all over. Yeah. One of them gets caught doing something they shouldn't be doing. The other one ostracises them completely until they drive them to do the thing that they don't want to do.
Mm. This kind of episode encapsulates what we haven't liked about David recently as well, doesn't it?
He's
not understanding of her at all, because she's really trying not to have anything to do with Callum or the drug. She wants to give it up, but he's like, what are you doing here? Callum reveals to David who he is. I suppose, I mean, that's what tips David over the edge, wasn't it, on Christmas Day, the fact that he's Max's dad.
And Kylie's drug dealer.
Yeah.
And Kylie's like, well, you're not the family, you're not part of the family. And
everyone then comes back in then, don't
well,
they?
They come in right as David and Callum start having a fight. Ooh. And David says, it's Callum's Max's dad and Kylie's drug dealer, rah, rah, rah. And then Michael says, like, get out, Callum, I'm going to call the police if you don't leave. And Kylie's trying to explain, and David's like, no, you haven't set the table. And she's like, I didn't mean him to do, I never wanted him here, I don't want to do the drugs anymore. And he's like, set the table.
Yeah, he just ignores her for the rest of the episode, basically.
So horrible. So, Kylie and Gail are saying, look, you can't pretend nothing happened. And he says, no, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And you're not. And then Lily starts crying, and David says, "Oh, you're not allowed to see to him, to her."
Yeah.
I hate it when he does that. It's like, no, I don't think you'll find that.
Well, no. Well, then when he when he tells her to pack her bag and leave, Kylie should have just been like, "Well, I'm taking Lily with me."
I know. It's my baby.
Could she really have? Could David have stopped her? I don't know.
Well, they could have done the old Solomon chop it in half trick.
Yeah, she just does pack her bag and go. She says her goodbyes to Max, which is quite sweet. And then, of course, who does she go and stay with? But Callum.
Well, she goes outside, like, and Callum pulls up, and she gets in the car and drives off.
That is a total soap cliche, isn't it? Like you were saying, somebody driving you to the thing that you were trying to not do before, the thing you were getting in trouble for not really doing before. It was just like when Dennis was driven into the arms of Gloria after David kicked him out. Like, was she really?
David kicked him out.
Oh, sorry, Rita kicked Dennis out. I suppose there isn't really anyone else. No, couldn't Kylie have just gone to stay with Eva or something?
Could stay with Eva. She could have stayed with Audrey.
Yeah, she could have actually.
Or... I think she's kind of just embraced her own destruction here.
She's like, yeah, I really am just a chav.
I really would love some speed.
Do you think that she's that sort of away and off screen, she's going to become a drug addict or anything?
Yeah.
Because she hasn't got any other responsibilities now. I think she's going to be a kept woman.
Who wouldn't love to be a drug addict with no kids?
Yeah, she's living the dream, isn't
exactly.
she, basically?
Yeah. So, that was
the big finale of that storyline, basically, wasn't it? That was the big story on Christmas Day, which is, like I said, if it wasn't a whole, this storyline is necessary because Paul Elaine is pregnant and needs a big storyline to go out of, I might have sort of bought into it a little bit more, but it did seem a little bit contrived.
I thought it was silly.
Yeah.
And it's been done before a million times.
Yeah.
Even in the Platt family, it's been done before a million times, with them arguing over something that they could probably get over if they just talked about it a bit more.
I would have rather it had been, they'd made up and then Kylie had gone into rehab, because that could have...
That would have made so much more sense.
Because it's just like...
Because he would have said to her, look, you can't do it by yourself, you've tried really hard, you need help.
Yeah.
That would have been really nice.
It wouldn't have been the big drama. I suppose the big climax then would have just been, oh, Callum's come round, but...
Yeah, well, there you go.
But then they could have had more time spent on Roy bashing Gary exactly, over the head on Christmas Day or something. But Boxing Day then. So Kylie's all gone, and Gail's off to see Sarah Lou, isn't she? She's going off to Milan.
Yay.
As you do. Kylie's going to LA. Gail's going to Milan,
yeah.
But she does need Michael's reassurance that she's doing the right thing, considering what's happened with Kylie. And Mike's like, yeah, whatever, off you go. Bring me back a Toblerone.
Then Max and David have a little scene where he's making him fish fingers and burns them.
Classic curry cuisine.
And Max is saying, oh, when's Mum coming back? And he's like, doesn't really know. Now, Michael is still here because he hasn't gone to Milan to see Sarah Lou. And he says, oh, I'll look after Max and Lily while David and... You, David and Gavin, fake Gavin, go to the pub together. So they go off together to do some kind of brotherly bonding or whatever it is. And David sees Eva and the Rovers and tells her what's happened. And Eva says, oh, Callum's dangerous and Kylie should come back home. She's going to get herself in trouble. And he's like, I don't care.
See, couldn't Eva have gone... Really, she should go and get Kylie back, couldn't
she? She knows where they hang out.
Exactly. She just needs to go along to the Dog and Gun and...
Get her.
Rescue her.
Go, look, you idiot, come stay with me.
Mm. Well, then what's happened to old Gemma as well?
I know. Well, she took drugs, didn't she, and ended up in hospital.
Mm.
Right.
Maybe we'll see more of her, I don't know.
Then we start having a little thing with Leanne starts coming into
hooray,
it.
Hooray, it's because, a Leanne storyline.
Nick doesn't want to hire her, but just needs the help.
Yeah. So who else can they choose? I like the idea of Leanne being a greasy kebab shop worker.
I know, it's always hilarious. It tickles me. And you get to a scene and she's standing there going, oh,
do you want sauce on that, love?
Yeah. So,
I suppose she is more at home at the bistro, isn't she?
She says Nick has to ask her, do you want to work in the bistro? And she says, I'll think about it. And then...
Meanwhile, David is having too much to drink at the Rovers, isn't he?
Yeah.
Gets a little bit drunk, and he's... Eva's telling him it's not a very good idea, but he doesn't care because life has fallen apart. Nick, meanwhile, is then... She was still talking to Leanne.
He just says, I want to see you come work at the bistro. She says, you think about it. And then they meet David in the street.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, and then Nick's like, oh, I'm sorry to hear about Kylie. And also on that scene, we have a little slip up from Gavin, doesn't he? Because he says that he remembers his mum and dad splitting up like it was yesterday. And David's like, oh, weren't you only three when that happened? And he's like, oh, maybe.
If that is the story.
So if it, maybe this is the start of unravelling. Who do you think is going to be the one that finds out? Is it going to be David, or it could be Steph, the way it's going at the moment?
It could be Steph, couldn't it? Yeah, because he's gonna, if he gets close to her, she's gonna find out.
Mm. Although your idea from a few weeks ago about the actual Gavin turning up dead,
that'd be hilarious.
Finding his obituary in the paper.
Not really so funny
exciting.
For Michael.
No, that is true. And we had a final scene with Audrey having a bit of a heart to heart with David. We didn't really see very much of it, did we? She's like comforting him and saying, "Look, I know you hate Kylie right now, but you got to act like you love her for Max to protect him." Do you think that David's going to fall apart, or is he going to be able to cope without Kylie in his life?
I don't care. I'm bored of this plot.
I think it is going to move over to Michael and Gavin and Nick now. I think we're not going to see very much of...
Good.
Because there's enough members of the Platt family to look after Lily and Max, to be fair, isn't there?
Yeah.
And it's not the first time that Kylie's done a runner anyway.
Exactly.
So at the end of the episode then, we have Nick... Well, no, Leanne agreeing to work at the bistro as manageress.
She's driving a hard bargain, though.
Yeah.
She says, I'm only coming back if I come back as manager. Nick thinks, oh, Steph's not going to like that. But she says, oh, thanks, I'm so glad. And then she says, also, you have to give this place a makeover, which I'm quite excited about, actually. I like
it when they have makeover.
Yeah,
I don't
too.
Think it needs it, but I do like it when things get redecorated on Coronation Street. Like, what's the difference?
And it goes to Gavin, right, bring the champagne over. And he brings over Carver, and Leanne says, right, I think I'll start tomorrow.
Yeah, so, we don't really like Leanne, do we? But it is where she belongs, I suppose.
I suppose.
So we're into the smaller storylines of the week now, aren't we? I'm really surprised that the Steve storyline wasn't a lot bigger because of how they're sort of building up to this. This is like one of the big storylines of the winter, and there wasn't very much that happened this week, was there?
But, you know, January is quite notorious for being a very depressing month, so there's nothing I would like more than to watch somebody on the television having a mental crisis.
More depression.
Yeah,
well,
right.
He has... Monday, he spends having an argument with Lloyd, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Because Lloyd and Kevin are saying that Steve needs tough love about this car situation that he's got himself into, and Andrea hints to Lloyd that she knows something about him, but she's not going to blab about it.
It doesn't take very long.
No, she blabs by the end of the episode. By the end of that half of the episode, she says that he's got man troubles because she still thinks he's got something wrong with his bits, doesn't she?
Yes. Now, Steve has got... He seems to be having money troubles because he's looking at his credit card and looking at the bill.
I'm not surprised.
From the Websters, and he's like, So he goes... Lloyd comes in to see Steve about the car, and they start chatting, and Steve goes off on one because Lloyd... is goading him about the car, and then he says, oh, why did you go to the doctors? And Steve ignores him and says, back off, I'm not telling you anything. And Lloyd says, you're just a mess. And Steve says, stop sticking your nose in, you mean nothing to me, back off, mate, or I'll knock your flaming head off. Poor old Lloyd.
No, I think Lloyd didn't really react to it because he knows that he can see that Steve,
he
this isn't Steve acting normal. He knows that there's something wrong with him.
He's having a crisis.
Yeah, so he just kind of let him have that one, really, didn't he?
Yeah, in the morning, Liz tells Steve he needs to get things sorted out with Lloyd, and he doesn't really want to talk about it, but he says, oh, we should have a big Christmas party for everyone in the family. And then Tracy comes in, and Steve says, oh, will you come as well? And Liz is like, I don't think so. But Tracy says, okay, so that Amy can be with her parents at Christmas, which is the least she can do, I guess.
Yeah.
And Andrea catches Steve at the garage and says, look, Lloyd's walking around with a face on, a face like a slap backside, she says. You need to make it up to him. So he invites them over for dinner, and then Eileen and all the family, and then a massive food order with loads of meat and stuff arrives at the Rovers.
So this is more money, basically, that he's spending.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily.
Nothing's come out of this yet, but it probably will do. Now, on Wednesday, he's not very happy. He's in a kind of good mood, but Lloyd's not happy. And Andrea says, look, he's trying to make this up to you with this party. And Lloyd says, I'd rather he said to me rather than showing me.
Mm. Then we get... Jenna's best storyline ever.
The most exciting thing that's ever happened to her, bless her.
So where is she? I can't remember. Oh, she's in Spain, isn't she? And she has been arrested for fraud by a car. No, she's got involved with a car hire company. Is it a dodgy car hire company, or she's got a dodgy girlfriend there, or something like that?
I think she actually has committed fraud.
I'd love that. I'd love it. But anyway, she's been arrested, and Andrea offers to go out to help, but to sort it. But Lloyd's like, no,
I've got to go by myself.
Why did Lloyd end up going in the end, not Andrea?
I don't know.
I don't remember. He obviously needs time off to go and get ready for I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Well, maybe Andrea's got to stay so... Oh, yeah. Maybe Andrea's got to stay so that she can have a storyline with Steve.
Yeah, I guess
if they both go, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, do you think that, like, Andrea's going to get a bit closer to Steve and...
Oh, God.
Well, Michelle's already split up with him,
anyway,
so it's not going
to... Thursday, Christmas Day. The back room of the Rovers is literally full to the brim with presents for
brilliant.
Amy.
I'd have loved to have been the set decorator for that one.
I know, but she's
wrapping
still not
up lots of empty boxes.
Happy because there's no snow. And Steve's like, no matter what happens, you will get snow. I promise you, this is going to be the best Christmas ever. So he says to Michelle later on, there's something about Christmas that makes me want to make people happy. Let's go make snow. So they go upstairs and they're throwing polystyrene balls out of the window. And Michelle gets overwhelmed with the romance of the season, tries to kiss him. And he says, stop trying to ruin Christmas and confuse me. Which is the only thing you can say to Michelle if she tries to kiss you.
Do you think that she was justified in going in for the kiss there?
He kind of hinted a little bit. They have a little argument.
No, this isn't like a
off.
Gary and Izzy situation though, is it? I mean, he was just being nice to her like Gary has been nice to Izzy.
Exactly.
But yeah, they have an argument, and that's the end of that. But then it really does snow at the end of the episode, because it always snows in Coronation Street on Christmas Day.
It's up north.
Even though it had been like chipping it down with rain partway through the
episode.
Don't
forget it snowed on Boxing Day for us.
We did.
So.
Yeah, we got some snow this year. Very exciting.
And Steve watches the snow fall for real and does a little happy, sad face. It starts off happy and then it gets sad as he probably realises that he can't enjoy it because he's depressed.
Yes. And he just had Friday's episode, he's just getting up, goes to bed, and Tony reckons he's just being bone idle.
Yeah, he just gets up for a minute, doesn't he, and sits alone and goes back to bed again.
Yeah.
Why not?
And that was basically what happened there. So I can only assume that maybe New Year is when we're going to have the scene of Steve with the pills or something. He's going to try and...
Well, yeah, maybe he'll say, maybe reflect on what he's done this year and decide that he hasn't done anything good, so he'd rather die.
Well, I mean, with all the money that he must have been spending out on the car and this party, maybe he's going to get his bills come through the post or something, and he's finally going to realise that there is something to worry about here.
Anyway, that's that. Let's talk about Sofa Webster.
Sofa. I thought the sofa storyline had all but finished, but no.
But
no, carried
it carries
on into
on.
This
they're
week.
Really
they're really
it.
Stringing out this sofa storyline. So Sally wants to have a Victorian Christmas this year and sets Tim off on the task of getting a new sofa in time for Thursday because they've still got their deck chairs at the moment. He finds this hideous 80s sofa picture from the cabin window and Sally's like, no, you've got to try again harder. And then on Wednesday, Sally invites the Natsirs over for Boxing Day. And Tim manages to solve the sofa problem very quickly by getting it back from Kevin. But then that means that Tim has to invite Kevin and Jack over for Christmas dinner as well. We're rushing through this, not much happened. Thursday, Christmas Day, Jack and Kevin come round for their little family Christmas and they're just about to start unwrapping when there is a clucking sound coming from outside because Alia next door has bought Sharif some chickens. I spy a comedy poultry storyline.
Or two.
Yeah. I suppose it's good that it's given another facet to Sharif's character. It's got given something else to talk about because we've been saying that he's a bit of a blank slate still, isn't he? And now he's got these chickens. So and also it's nice that Yasmin wasn't impressed with it because
Yasmin was like, oh, their beady eyes looking at me.
She's just brilliant. Yeah, so it's going to give her more to nag Sharif about, and I like that between them. I like that he is under her thumb. Sally's also not impressed with chickens next door.
Well, no, she's worried about the smell, and also there's a cock call there for some reason because you hear a cock crow at one point, and I don't think you're allowed to keep cockerels in towns, and why would you anyway if you are keeping hens to lay eggs?
I thought it was they're funny. They were talking about how it was good to eat them as well.
He said they were good table birds.
They're either going to get stolen or there's going to be a fox or...
Going to get run over like
Teresa the turkey, yeah.
Anyway.
All to come.
They've kind of really missed the whole chicken in a back garden craze that was like 5 years ago.
Well,
Corrie, maybe it's just reached
Corrie isn't always in time when so there was that little mashed potato fight in the cafe later.
Well, they're helping out on Christmas Day. Call back to last year, aren't they? And
Sally smushes Maddie with mashed potato.
Yeah.
To get her back.
She says, "Yeah, I'll get you." All right.
Yeah, and Roy's like, "Oh, stop fighting." So Maddie then says to Sophie later that she's just her pet project. And Sophie says, "No, you're the one." And they have a little moment before Sally interrupts them. I didn't really see the point of that particularly.
I think they're just laying the ground for a gay wedding.
Do you think this is where it's going to start? Because they've kind of known each other for a year now, haven't they?
That's long enough.
Yeah. So Tim and Kevin are late on Thursday because they've been playing with their cars. Oh, they played good. They got scared out straight around, haven't they? So that's not much happens there.
They're having a bromance.
They are totally having a bromance. Yeah.
They get in late and Sally's like, "Oh, we've eaten everything. Oh, we're really full." Oh,
not really.
It's all in the oven waiting for you.
Yeah, so that is the Webster's Christmas. Hilarious. Next day, though, they're getting ready for this soiree, this Webster Nuttier soiree. And Sophie comes home and finds that the sofa's gone again. And
Sally does.
And a guilty-looking Tim there is promising he can explain. Because Kevin has only lent it to them for one day. This storyline with the sofa is really getting strung on. And he suggests that the Lindsayers won't even notice. But I did enjoy that.
The perfect thing would have been for Sally to have just said, "We just move the sofa out of the way so that we can all have room to stand in." Because, I mean, there wasn't enough room for everyone to sit on the sofa. It would have just been in the way.
That's true. You'd have been fighting over who gets the sofa if there had been a sofa there. But I did like that doorstop scene. And we were watching this Coronation Street on our iPad through the Wi-Fi Friday night, weren't we? And it kept cutting out. And that scene we were stuck on for about 10 minutes. But it was good because, Yasmin is determined to come in. And Sally's can't come in.
And Sally's there going, "Oh, no, you can't come in."
Maddie's
it looks
first.
Like a squat. No offence, Maddie.
That was a good laugh. This is what I really like about Maddie living there. It's just it gives Sally the opportunity just to have these little... Yeah. And she doesn't mean it either. She's not saying it to be nasty to her. It's just naturally slipping out.
She just thinks that Maddie would be aware of the fact she lived in a squat. So
well, it's the same as having
offended?
The Nazirs next door. It means that Sally can make these kind of half... racist remarks every so often.
Oh, hilarious.
So it just makes Sally look stupid, that and the Maddie stuff. That's the why it's funny.
The Nazirs arrive. She says, "We've unexpectedly had to cancel." And Maddie says, "Look, I have to confess that the toilet is blocked.
It stinks.
You can't come in." He says, "Oh, Sally, you've been worrying about this for two bees in a pod. Your toilet's my toilet." And Sally's like, no, Sophie says, "Oh, you can't come in because the house smells." And Yasmin says, "Maybe we should just rearrange."
So then Sharif puts the present on the doorstep, doesn't he? Is that a...
I don't know. He puts the present down and then they will walk off and then Tim yoinks it up. And So Sally's really humiliated and she's like, "No one complimented me on my outfit and I'm really mad." And Tim says, "Right, we've got to put this right in spectacular fashion," which means Maddie and Sophie have to set up a Moroccan date night for Tim and Sally to have on the floor.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sweet.
So that was a nice little sweet way to end. I think there should have been a little bit more time on the storyline because it seems a little rushed. And then with the rest of it is just kind of all the mopping up of the Tracy and Tony stuff, isn't it? Which can almost be summed up in Tracy's goading Tony for the rest of the week. So at first, because the Monday episode carried on from the end of Friday, so Tracy and Tony have just done the deed and they're getting dressed afterwards, and Tracy's saying, "Oh, I'm not going to snitch on you."
She basically went on a power trip. She was feeling helpless. He was threatening to kind of take her power away from her, so she totally turned the tables on him and made him want her. And now she's got all the playing cards.
Yeah.
So well, she tells him that I made him want me, and that's enough.
She and Todd do because he sees them getting out the car together later, doesn't he? He hides away. And when he confronts Tracy and about this later, she's like, "Oh, mind your own business." But yeah, now he's got something to hold over her, which is interesting. Basically all it was during the week was... Well, Tony obviously... Tracy got invited to Steve's Christmas do. And they were just kind of giving each other looks, weren't they? And Tony's not interested at all. I mean, the shop hasn't even mentioned, has it? Tracy's no. just... Now she's got this... Like you said, she's got all the cards and she's being quite sly and kind of femme fatale-ish for the rest of the week.
Yeah, that's it. Is there anything else to say?
He's
uncomfortable
really.
With it and she's loving it, basically. That's it.
Yeah, that is basically it. So that was Coronation Street for this week. We didn't get to see any of Billy's Christmas sermon, although it was referenced. That would have been nice, I think, even though I'd said they could have cut out some of the bits. That would have been nice to see. But yeah, on the whole, it wasn't an amazing Coronation Street Christmas, but it can't all be, I suppose.
Well, they can be, because they sort of knew that they were going to do it.
They knew that Christmas was coming.
Yeah.
They just assumed that everyone would be a bit more invested in the Kylie storyline. Maybe everyone else is. Maybe it's just us being a bit Scroogish about it.
Let us know what you thought of this Christmas one. I mean, it was probably on... It's like, you know... I got overwhelmed with it being on every day and it being so long, and I think they could have done the story in such...
Yeah.
I feel it's a bit of... padding again. I think they've had lots of padding recently, and I don't know why.
Yeah, they don't need it. I mean, yeah, the Roy stuff was more exciting for us, but that was kind of pushed to the end of the week, wasn't it? And it was spoiled for us as well by someone, wasn't it? Because I knew that was going to attack somebody with a cricket bat, but I assumed up until the night that it was going to be just one of the teenagers he was going to do. And then we went round somebody's house, one of my mum and dad's friends, and they said, he's going to hit Gary with a cricket bat, isn't he? I was like, thank you.
Thanks
and avoiding
so
that
much.
Spoilers. But I don't know very much about, if anything, about what's going to happen next week at all, so... At least there's still
that
to come.
How exciting. Anything could happen. Literally anything.
Now, that's all we're going to have for tonight's episode. Just a quick recap of what's happened on Christmas week. The next episode will either be talking about next week's Coronation Street, or it's going to be the Conversation Street 2014 awards show, whichever one we happen to record first.
And predictions, means we need you to send us your predictions to tell us what do you think is going to happen in 2015.
Births, deaths, marriages... Anything else?
Any of the current storylines that are going on at the moment, have you got any predictions for how they're going to end?
Things that you know are going to happen
either.
Don't cheat. No spoilers.
If you've got an idea about what's going to happen with Gary and Roy, what's going to happen, is Callum going to come back? What do you think that they're going to do?
Some long-term
Steve?
Things
what
as
What do you
well.
Think they're going to do, Steve? Is anyone going to get married next year? Is anybody going to die? How are they going to die? Do you have any ideas about, I don't know.
What's going to happen with the chickens?
Yeah, think of some
Anything.
Funny chicken storylines. And what will Sally do for a sofa? That's really what I'm worried about in 2015. DFS are doing a sale, probably.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
So that is it. That'll be coming later on this week or early next week, probably. So we hope you enjoy that. And thank you to everyone that's voted as well. But for now, that's going to be it for this Conversation Street. If you'd like to email us, you can do so at conversationstreet@gmail.com or leave a comment on our blog. We're at conversationstreet.podbean.com. We would love it if you gave us a review on iTunes. And love it even more if you sent us a Skype voicemail message, because we do like getting those. Thank you for everyone that's been following us on Twitter recently. Numbers have been going up, which is great. But if you haven't followed us yet, we're at Conversation Stir, and we're also on Facebook with Conversation Street. So, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, see you next episode.
Bye!
The music for this episode came from podcastthemes.com.